This is the Christmas story that we've been hearing, and it's beautiful in French, in Kiswahili, or in English. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. We often forget the strangeness of this passage, because we have become so familiar with this pastoral scene of a mother and a father and a baby and a cow over there gently chewing. But really, it's scandalous. It is a strange story, because a manger meant that Jesus was the lowest of the low, no social class at all. That's all they could find for Jesus. And the angel spoke and announced it to the shepherds, and the shepherds again are of the lowest class. They aren't elite. They aren't even middle class. They're the lowest, and they're the ones who got the news. And then we heard the response of the angels. They were terrified, and they said, "Well, peace on earth through this child to all whom God favors." And if we read through that, we realize all whom God favors means all people, everywhere. That's who God favors, everyone, and that is scandalous. And if there weren't room enough, back in 1 AD, when there were presumably, we read, between 170 million and 300 million people, and now we're 7 billion, where in the world are we going to find room enough today? Is there room enough? We hang out our signs that say we've met our quota, not room enough here. Two of my favorite Marys, the Mother Teresa of Frisco and the Mother Teresa of Grace Church, died this year in 2017. And I know it's true that life goes on, but some of those moments, particularly at Christmas, that I have experienced in the years I knew both those Marys, make me wonder if things will ever be the same at Christmas again. The Christmas pageant for Open Door, where all the children, the preschool children, are singing and making the Nativity come live for us, with Dolina, the Mother Teresa of Grace Church, sitting out there beaming and telling me about each one, everything about them, no matter how many there were. And her car that pulled up and stopped to let off children and pick up others every day, as she told them, "Go in and speak to Pastor, go in and speak to Pastor." But it's like, you know, those little Volkswagen buses or something where people just keep getting out of them and getting out of them and getting out of them. I just kept looking out the window, and finally I'd go out there and I'd say, "Where are all these people coming from?" My car. Because there was always room enough. And then one day, when we thought there wasn't, she bought another car, a bigger ride. It was a long one with lots and lots of seat belts. And even then, there was always another one needing a room. Maybe at the apartments, when they saw how much fun the children were having at Open Door, as they got dropped off or picked up. And so they said, "Take me, take me." And she did. And then the Mother Teresa of Frisco, Sue, the teacher of migrant children. And always she would tell me, because I was the youth minister then, "Okay, this family out in the country needs this, this family needs this." But one Christmas she came to me and said, "There is this mother who has two little boys. She is pregnant. Her husband went to take care of his mother in Mexico, and while he was there, he had a car accident and he died. Please come with me. Bring what you have." This was Christmas Eve night. And I did. And I said, "Where are we going?" Because I knew every place in Frisco then. And we were going to what I can only say was a manger, because it was the back of someone else's old house that lived in the front that they had appropriated somehow in the back to look like a room for this family with no plumbing. And there was that mother, great with child, and two little children having just lost their father. And the Mother Teresa of Frisco said, "There's going to be enough room for them here in Frisco. There's some government housing that they're building. One day, they'll have one of those apartments." And she worked hard. She worked hard to see that they filled out all the right papers, and that as they got their citizenship and applied, and the mother worked hard, that they could get into those apartments. And always, Mother Teresa took her children, her own children, with her. She was a single mom with a daughter and a son. And they told me, they said, "The most meaningful Christmas we ever had was when we went to the government housing for the first time, and the three boys were bigger now, and they were in bed, and my mother and their mother had decorated a Christmas tree, and this was their first night to spend in that house." And she said, "And I was just a young girl standing at the door, and I looked, and there was my mother with Elisa, their mother, with their arms around each other, looking at that lighted tree, tears streaming down both their faces. And I knew something awesome had happened, because truly there was room enough." There's always room enough. A woman in our church who made one of the cushions that we'll be kneeling on if you want to kneel tonight, Linus Welch, a member of this congregation forever, a mainstay. I knew her well. She died year before last. She didn't have any children, but she and her husband adopted a son. That son married, but he and his wife have no children. And he told me recently, he said, "You know that sermon you preached one day on 23andMe? I said, "Yeah." He said, "I was listening." I went, "Oh, sometimes people do." And so I said, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "I went home and ordered one of those kits, and I pursued it." And he said, "Guess what, Judith? I have a brother, and I have a cousin, and there is room enough. And I think his mother would be happy that he has a brother and he has a cousin." The birth of Christ was God's particular moment to insert saving, world-altering goodness into our world and to make room enough for all. I have two nativity sets at my home, and no matter what's happening, I get those two nativity sets out before anything else. Hold on a moment. I just brought the two Marys with me. So this is Mary. She's a porcelain Mary. She's holding the baby. And there's a beautiful set that goes with it. And she was made, as was the rest of the nativity, by my husband's aunt, who was born with one very small, weak, non-functioning arm. And she began at an early age to come down to Shriners Hospital and to do different things. And she was determined, I can add something to this world, I can contribute. And she began making Christmas trees and nativity sets and on and on and on, and gifting them to people everywhere. And she gave this whole set to my mother-in-law. And when my mother-in-law died, she gave me this nativity. And it tells that there's room enough for all those who are physically challenged. There is room enough for them to contribute every day. My other favorite nativity goes with the animals that Eric was using with the children today. And I brought Mary with me because Mary was made by a man with no fingers at the Gonta Rehab for Leprosy when I visited. The only thing is, I didn't know who made them at first. I have since met him. But they said, we make nativity sets out of wood. Would you like to have one? I said, surely, for my mother. And when they brought me this set, I kept looking for Mary, and I couldn't find Mary. You can look at her afterwards if you want to. I went, well, where's Mary? They said, this is Mary. I said, but she's not contemplating in awe. She's frowning. And they quietly said, well, we'll introduce you to the man who carved all these pieces. And we'll also tell you that we just got out of our Civil War and all the tools to carve wood were stolen, except for one. So this man made Mary with no fingers and one wooden tool. She's my favorite Mary. And she reminds us that there is room enough for the sickest in this world to contribute, and for the most impoverished in this world to give. So last month, we dedicated the headstone for Sue in Oklahoma. And the three boys who had ended up living with her for different reasons were there. The oldest one, Loopy, was there. They'd all graduated from college. And Loopy was there with his one son. And he began talking to me, and he said, we have worked to become foster to adopt parents. And some of you know, that's a very challenging, difficult thing to do. And I said, Loopy, that's wonderful. He said, oh, we had to. And the reason we did that is because Sue always told us, it doesn't matter who comes to your door or into your life. There has to be room enough in your homes, in your hearts, in your souls for the next one and the next one. And that's what we need to remember tonight. In Christ, there is room enough. Amen.